From KPFK Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Monday morning brought with it the explosive news of former Trump election campaign chair Paul Manafort turning himself into FBI custody in the latest on the special prosecutor Robert Mueller's investigation. Manafort has been indicted along with former Trump aide Rick Gates. The charges facing the two include money laundering, operating as agents of a foreign government, as well as hampering a federal investigation and failing to disclose offshore bank accounts. On Monday morning, both Manafort and Gates pleaded not guilty to all charges in federal court. It was also revealed on Monday morning that a man named George Papadopoulos, who advised Trump on foreign policy during the election campaign, pled guilty on October 5th of lying to federal authorities about his contacts with Russian officials. Over the weekend, Trump himself anger tweeted up a storm, claiming that the charges were upsetting the GOP's push for tax reform and asking why Hillary Clinton and the Democrats were not being investigated. My guest is Kevin Gostola, managing editor of Shadowproof.com. He also produces and co-hosts the weekly podcast, Unauthorized Disclosure. Welcome, Kevin.
Thank you for having me.
So certainly a very tangled web of indictments and conspiracies. As far as we know, as of Monday morning, three people have been indicted: Paul Manafort and Rick Gates, who have been had the same indictment. And then we found out that there was an earlier indictment of this man named George Papadopoulos. But none of the indictments, I understand, specifically mention Trump just yet, especially the Manafort and the Gates indictment. Instead, among the charges they face are money laundering. How is this possible? Is Mueller's investigation this broad?
There is one connection to Trump's campaign, and the Trump administration is already downplaying it or also like pretending that that fact does not exist if you look at the official statements being put out by the White House press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. The fact is that Papadopoulos, those allegations do stem directly from what was going on with the Trump campaign. Now, on the other hand, it's true that what we're talking about with Paul Manafort and Gates, those are charges that involve money laundering with Ukraine, and that would have been illegal activity that Robert Mueller uncovered during the course of the investigation. That's not necessarily about the Trump campaign, but if Trump was hiring these individuals, he would have been able to vet them and figure out if they were involved in this kind of corruption.
Let's focus on Papadopoulos for a minute and keep all of these separate because it's a lot of stuff to keep track of. His indictment was on October 5th, but we just found out about it now. And he basically admitted that he lied to federal authorities about speaking with a Russian professor with close ties to the Putin government, who was basically offering dirt on Clinton. The New York Times just straight up says that the Russian government hacked Democratic accounts, email accounts, releasing a trove of embarrassing emails related to Clinton's campaign. And this professor, who is as yet unnamed, told Papadopoulos that they have dirt on her. So some are saying that these charges against Papadopoulos are much more serious than what Manafort and Gates is facing.
Yeah, the charges that are alleged against Papadopoulos do seem to be more severe, significant in the scheme of this, because if we're looking at Papadopoulos, this is the case that's going to make it the easiest to make the case that there was some kind of collusion or that there's something going on between the Trump campaign and people in Russia or even levels of the Russian government. And of course, that's what we've been inundated with for the past year to year and a half, is all of these allegations about how the Trump campaign was colluding with the Kremlin or how they were trying to do things that were favorable to Vladimir Putin. And so that's going to be a big deal with Papadopoulos. And also, he looks a lot more crooked in his conduct. In fact, in the indictment, something that's been given attention in these immediate hours is that there was an interview in February, and then the day after he had the FBI interview, it was a second interview, he went and deactivated his Facebook account so that he could get rid of evidence of these contacts, these people who were implicated or somehow would show that he was connected to these Russian intermediaries. And then at some point, another account popped up that he started. And so he's clearly trying to cover up, although in a very ham-handed way, and obviously he's not fooling the FBI at all. And it's clear, so because you've got that going on, then you've got the fact that they are able to get him to plead guilty. So he's already talking about what he knows as far as the Trump campaign's involvement with its Russian policies, and where that goes, we don't exactly know. But it seems that because of what we're seeing today, that Robert Mueller is finding illegal activity.
And so Papadopoulos, whose name was not really a high-profile name in all of these and the details of this investigation, was actually arrested in late July, very quietly, and has been cooperating with federal authorities. Apparently, he repeatedly tried to arrange a meeting between the Trump campaign. He was foreign policy advisor in the Trump campaign. He repeatedly tried to arrange a meeting between the Trump campaign and Russian government officials, according to court records. So this is all pretty, sounds pretty damning anyway. What about, so now let's go to Manafort and Gates. Manafort, who was Trump's campaign chair, had been a pretty high profile figure in the investigation. His home had been searched in recent months. That made news. What about the charges that he's facing? And can Mueller even go after him for these issues of money laundering?
The answer to that last question is yes. So in the mandate to being the counsel that is part of who is leading this investigation with the team of people that he's picked to help him, there is a clause that allows him to investigate basically any sort of illegal activity that he might uncover in the course of the investigation. So even though it starts with maybe the impetus of, is there an obstruction of justice going on here by Trump officials? Is there in some way something going on here where the campaign is colluding with Russia? Well, he can then go ahead and add to the investigation and also issue indictments against money laundering that involves this activity with Ukraine that was actually pretty fairly well known to the public about Paul Manafort. In fact, that was what got him in trouble, and that's why he left the campaign and didn't stay on through the election day.
And right, so the Ukraine story is really interesting. And just for some context, Ukraine basically had a major internal battle that almost led to, brought Russia and the U.S. close to a war since the Cold War under Obama. There was a massive overturning of the government, and the U.S. played a big role in ensuring a pro-U.S. leadership in Ukraine. Now we find out that not only were people with the Trump campaign involved with Russia, Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych, Tony Podesta, the brother of Clinton's campaign chair, John Podesta, is also being investigated with links to Ukraine. I mean, the story just gets more and more bizarre.
Yeah, and this is activity that involves foreign accounts, which it's money laundering. It's the moving of money, and these were used to. And in the case of Manafort, what we know specifically about him, I don't know exactly the extent of Podesta's conduct, but what's laid out in relation to Manafort is that you've got Yanukovych in particular, who I believe fled to Russia. And so you've got Manafort, who was involved in trying to burnish and make the image of this person a lot better than it was. And he was getting paid to do that. So he's making millions of dollars, and he's funneling it through all these different accounts. The indictment says these are corporations. These are offshore accounts. Just any way that you could move money to try to get it untraced. And then when he went to his tax preparer, he was hiding the existence of these millions of dollars. And the indictment lays out very vividly that Manafort's living this lavish, luxurious lifestyle by way of money laundering, and it all goes back to Ukraine.
So remind us, is Viktor Yanukovych, who is currently in exile in Russia, and he's wanted in the Ukraine for high treason, is he essentially a pro-Russia puppet?
It looks like that could be the case. I mean, the fact that you have, I think that's where the alliances get drawn, because if in this investigation, what becomes important is that there are interests that these people have that are in the Trump campaign that align with that narrative of Trump being someone who colluded with Russia through the campaign. And as so far, he and nobody has ever really copped to why they were doing it, but it just seems like there's this nexus or this sort of where things just crossed, and people who were right wing also had these moneyed interests in this Kremlin sort of agenda.
So going back to the issue of Tony Podesta, founder of the Podesta Group, which is a PR firm, we're hearing the news that he's stepping down from the firm because of he's under investigation by Mueller. Podesta, who you might imagine would be associated more with Democrats, his brother was Clinton's campaign chair. It now turns out that his firm was one of the firms that was hired to on behalf of Viktor Yanukovych's government or the Ukrainian government in general, which is just, again, the web just gets more and more tangled. And forgive me if I'm getting some of this wrong, because the news is just coming out. This is what Politico says. Manafort organized a PR campaign on behalf of a nonprofit called the European Center for a Modern Ukraine, and Podesta Group, run by Tony Podesta, was one of several firms that were paid to do work on the PR campaign to promote Ukraine in the U.S. So all of this to say that Robert Mueller might see both Manafort and possibly Tony Podesta as agents of the Russian government?
I don't know how far I'd go with that. I don't know if Tony ends up in that. But what is clear here is that Tony's actions ended up being uncovered, probably, I'd be willing to presume that in the process of looking into what Paul Manafort was doing, as and also just based on what you're saying there from the Politico article, that this is something that was uncovered in the course of the investigation. And what it shows, and I think what's the takeaway, what people who are watching and listening to you would appreciate the most, is that Robert Mueller's investigation is going to be one that goes wherever it leads, and the people that he ends up indicting may not be individuals who in the initial outset were targets of the investigation. So let's say if Robert Mueller started out with five or six people that he had in mind that look like people of interest, there are persons of interest that get picked up along the way. And it seems like Tony Podesta is one of those people who have become persons of interest later on in the investigation. And it's very it's very strange and incredible, because John Podesta is the person whose emails were hacked, and where we were talking about that. And of course, there's been all of this intrigue about whether WikiLeaks is publishing these emails because Russia is giving them the emails. And that's a key Democratic Party narrative that's been pushed for the last year and a half, and to now have Tony implicated in possible criminal conduct, even though there's no indictment yet, they're saying under investigation. And that just suggests that the warfare between the Trump administration and Democrats is just going to intensify. We already have this rhetorical battle going on where Donald Trump hops on Twitter and says, why aren't we talking about Hillary Clinton? Why are we talking about these indictments? You know, and they've been pushing this thin, very not very well sourced, it doesn't have much meat to it or facts or anything behind it, but they keep making these allegations about Hillary Clinton and the so-called Uranium One thing. And it's something that has taken on this sort of folklore along in conservative media. But I think
I have not heard about this. Can you share it with us? Hillary Clinton and the uranium one?
Well, I don't want to get
this will be a conservative talking point, I'm sure.
No, absolutely. And I'm not too, and I can't really articulate the conspiracy theory to you well, so I won't attempt to do that, because then I will be giving people falsehoods on your show. But the basic essence is that as they're making these allegations about Trump collusion, Trump is pointing to Hillary Clinton and saying that there was this deal going on. And it comes from this book that Peter Schweizer wrote called Clinton Cash, that made these allegations about money and the Clinton Foundation and all of this.
I see.
And so I think what's most important is not necessarily like what the conspiracy theory is, but the fact that this has taken on a force of its own, and there are no journalists in the last 3 to 4 days that this has become a key promotion of the Donald of the Trump White House. There's been no journalists that have been able to give this any sort of confirmation and factually prove that there is some kind of uranium deal that Hillary Clinton was involved in with Russians. Hmm. And so basically what's happened is there are these little tidbits of information that seem like they could be true, and they've blown them up into propaganda to counter the actual real investigation of Robert Mueller.
This is what Trump tweeted over the weekend, or actually just on Sunday. Report out that Obama campaign paid $972,000 to Fusion GPS. The firm also got $12,400,000 in brackets, really, from DNC. Nobody knows who okayed, ! So, and then of course, Trump also has been tweeting, no collusion. Also, there's no collusion. I mean, he certainly looks extremely defensive right now. And also, the more you say the words no collusion, what's popping out to people is the word collusion. I mean, he's not looking to be in a good position right now. Another thing that The Atlantic actually came out with today, Kevin, was that all of this may be going climbing up the ladder to Trump himself, because if we're looking at the issue of obstruction of justice, Trump's firing of Comey earlier this year may be seen or may be concluded by Mueller to be exactly that. And you know, everyone's wondering, will this go all the way up to Trump himself?
Yeah, and there's a lot of questions about whether you should appoint a special prosecutor. Should there be someone more independent involved in pursuing this? And as you're saying, there are tons of questions as to whether Donald Trump has actually engaged in obstruction of justice. And then in the meantime, what we know to be true is that there continue to be these reports about the 2016 campaign, and we continue to learn new details about the Republicans and what they were doing through their firms, whether it's the Cambridge Analytica story and how they were calling up WikiLeaks to see if they potentially had the 30,000 destroyed emails, which Donald Trump made that flip comment about. You know, he said, you know, the Russians could go find those or something like that. And then at the same time, you also have new details about what the Democratic Party was doing. So you have details about their efforts to put together the dossier on Trump. And what's just incredible about this moment is, you know, we're almost a year out from the election, and it doesn't actually feel like it's over. It seems like it just continues, because we have this political warfare going on between Donald Trump and the Democrats over this campaign that, you know, we haven't been able to move on. And I think the thing is that as much as people wanted to maybe move on from all of these issues that were taking up space a year ago, the Mueller investigation, as it finds actual crimes that were committed by these individuals, is just going to continue to make the Trump officials spin and say to us all of these things about the Hillary Clinton campaign that isn't true. But even if it was true, Mueller's going to find that kind of corrupt conduct and possibly indict those people. Because if Tony Podesta's under investigation, it means that anybody else involved in the 2016 election that was involved in this kind of conduct should be worried about being indicted.
Right.
And so
it's not just following party lines strictly.
Exactly. And also that's a nice way for Mueller to argue that he's being impartial and fair.
Right.
And I know that's not always the case that, like, if you have something bipartisan, that it's actually fair. It could still be a really, really horrible thing that's going on. But in this case, I think the fact that we're hearing about people who aren't just Republican, but we know that Democrats and Republicans both engage in this conduct. They represent foreign people and they get around election regulations by moving money around. And we know that Hillary Clinton was as much involved in this as people linked to Trump's campaign were involved in this. So I guess maybe one of the few final thoughts that need to come out here is that this kind of conduct with money laundering isn't just a thing when you're talking about failing to register as somebody who's representing foreign agents, because that's a thing that you have to do. If you're a lobbyist, you have to go
right
through what's called FARA. And that's what Manafort is getting in trouble for, is misrepresenting his actions. That's something that people who are involved in the Democratic Party are just as much guilty of doing, and fudging and not really coming clean about what they're doing. But they don't usually get swept up in a big high-profile investigation. So in this case, any of those people who might have been on the Democratic side and not doing due diligence, they could be in trouble before we're all done with this. But I think the big thing here is that we haven't quite got to what Democrats really want yet. I think we're still waiting for that thing that really confirms the full narrative of conspiracy that has been alleged between the Trump campaign and Russia all along.
Finally, there are also fears that in Washington that Trump will attempt to fire Robert Mueller himself. Is that even in the realm of possibility? I mean, first of all, do you think he would do that? And second of all, can he do that?
Well, anything's possible with this president. at this point, and you can call me a fool for this, but I'll take them at their word that they're not going to fire Robert Mueller. I mean, that's what they continue to maintain. I think they're in quite a position after these indictments, because to fire Robert Mueller actually makes them look like they are guilty and that there's more going on. I mean, they say that they parted ways with Manafort and it's not a big deal anymore. And they even say that Papadopoulos was just some kind of a volunteer. So why do you even have to come to us with these questions about whether, you know, we're connected to them and it goes to the top as far as the corruption goes? But I just don't think they're going to do that. But I think they will play a game. We saw last week that a super PAC linked to Trump was sending emails out to people asking if they thought in a poll, they did a little informal poll, do you think Robert Mueller should be fired?
Huh.
And obviously Trump supporters are going to say yes. But they maintain that, you know, they wanted to keep Robert Mueller on. So there's a sort of double game going on here.
And there's a group that is now mobilizing that includes Walter Schaub, who was one of the people who resigned very publicly from the Office of Government Ethics, about people mobilizing in case Trump were to fire Mueller. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us and helping us sort through this web of sordid accusations, charges, indictments, etc. I really appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
My guest has been Kevin Gostola, managing editor of ShadowProof.com. He also produces and co-hosts the weekly podcast Unauthorized Disclosure. We've been discussing the first of the indictments from Robert Mueller's investigation. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.